Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, what's happening? What's going on? Tiki and Tierney ready to roll on this Monday after the Super Bowl. We're coming in from our Rocket Mortgage studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Hope all is well. Hope you had some luck with the props. If you listen to this show, you did well in terms of the actual game, because we both told you that the Bucks would win and that the Bucks would win, you know, somewhat going away. But Tink, you know, there's a million things to unpack here. I guess you could start with the officiating, which to me is not nearly as big a story as it is for some. But we can start with the coaching, with Bruce Arians, and obviously Byron Leftwich, phenomenal. But Tom Brady, this guy's not human, dude.
Yeah, he's not. But he's human. It's hard to know where to start, actually, BT, because he is so good. But it's not even about how good of a player he is. It's more like this calming, steadying demeanor that he brings wherever he goes. And you see this on the field. I'm sure this was the case in the locker room. You see it just how he carries himself after the games. I mean, obviously he's polished, and he's 43 years old, so he has the story down, right?
He's got the script.
He's got clarity on how to handle these things. Uh-huh. But I think that's really the truth in who he is. He doesn't panic, and we've seen this throughout his career, BT, no matter what the circumstances is. They were showing a replay, I guess it was yesterday, maybe it's 2 days ago, over the weekend, of his not comeback, but game-winning drive against the Rams. Mm-hmm. When, you know, he basically is dinking and dunking, throwing, hit the running back twice, and he hits a tight end, then he hits a fullback, and all of a sudden they kick the game-winning field goal. He's 26 years old at that time, and it was just the calmness about him. And now you fast forward to now, and you still see that, but with just a greater acumen. He's amazing that he's able to do this at such a great age. But there's so much credit to go around for this Bucks team.
Oh,
success.
No question.
Obviously,
no question.
It's the players, and obviously it's the coaches. The Jason Light, the general manager, he deserves a ton of credit for how he put this team together. Mm-hmm. And they outplayed and outcoached one of the best teams in football, and it wasn't a game really much at all.
No, there's a lot of branches to this tree. You're right. And we're going to hit all those various branches in terms of, you know, doling out the proper praise. The defense was phenomenal. Todd Bowles was indeed pretty much the key to the game. But you got to start with Brady, and that's why we're going there. Listen, this stat is amazing. Tom Brady has more Super Bowl wins than 18 franchises combined. If you take just let this resonate in your mind for a moment. If you take the following teams: the Bears, the Eagles, the Jets, the Rams, the Saints, and Seattle, the Bengals, the Bills, the Browns, Cards, Chargers, Falcons, Jags, Lions, Panthers, Texans, Titans, and Vikings, and add them all up, all their championships, Tom Brady has more. What?
I mean,
now I know that you could bring in the Yogi Berras for sure. Yeah. We love Yogi. Bill Russell for sure. They've got, they literally have more hardware, but, you know, not to say that it was easier for Russell, but it was a different time. Excuse me, easier to dominate the sport. Fewer teams, far less athletic. You know, same with Yogi Berra. They had the best team by far in baseball, and he was a part of it. But, I mean, when you're the quarterback in the NFL and you win for varying degrees, but obviously high degrees, for 19 years, right? And everybody asked the question over and over. Is it the coach? Is it the quarterback? Is it the system? Is it the quarterback? Is it a combination? What is it?
Yeah.
And the first year that you play away from the franchise that we always lump that question together in, their quarterback was the worst in football, right? They've had the worst season they've had in two-plus decades, and the team that Brady goes to wins the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's crazy what this guy does.
It is, but it's also...
I've stopped fighting it. Here's
a contrary view. Not contrary, but it's just a different tangent of the view. Because I mentioned Jason Light. He's their general manager. And think about the team that he put together. I mean, he drafted so well. Devin White, who we've raved about this entire postseason, really his entire young career at this point. And Winfield Jr., who got into a trash-talking match with Tyreek Hill, throwing up the peace sign, because that's what Tyreek Hill did to them three times back in early November. You think about the free agents that he brought in. He traded for JPP, Shaq Barrett, who nobody knew about. He was able to get Tom Brady and Gronk and AB, but all of this talent there goes to the acumen of the head coach who expressed what he wanted and the general manager who went and got him. Now, I've said this many times, I've come to believe in this wholeheartedly. Okay. You got to have a Hall of Fame quarterback if you want to win a Super Bowl. In some ways, doesn't it feel like because he did such a great job building this team, Jason Light, that Tom Brady coming here after, because he built a team that any good quarterback would want to go to, right?
Yes.
Doesn't it feel like this is almost Tom Brady going the way of super teams in the NBA? Because think about the talent. Right? The talent on this Buccaneers team is exceptional. I mean, if Mike Evans keeps playing the way that he's playing, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Gronk, Hall of Famer. Antonio Brown, we've had this conversation, Hall of Famer. You look on the defensive side of the ball with JPP, who's got he's not a Hall of Famer, but he's got two championships. He's not lost in the postseason. Obviously, that one year with the New York Giants. And now this season, Shaq Barrett, Levante David. There's a ton of like stud players on this team. And you just go add Tom Brady. And that just makes it the super team in a sense. It took him time to gel. But at the end of the day, and especially after watching what they did in the postseason, beating the Washington football team, but then in succession.
And on the road.
But all of them on the road,
right? No. But we kind of dismissed the Washington
technically not on the road last night, but still.
No. But and I know where you're going with the quarterbacks, and I'll certainly let you get that. Yep. The reason I really insert the Washington thing is because it's easy to say, it was still on the road.
It's still on the road. You're right. And so you go beat Drew Brees, and you go beat Aaron Rodgers, and you go Pat Mahomes, all of whom are Super Bowl MVPs.
It's incredible. And it's ever happened.
And they score 30 points a game. Every game.
And by the way, the Bucs could have scored 40. They just took their foot off the gas, and they got stopped 1 inch away from 7 more points.
That's exactly
right.
They
could have scored 40-plus.
Like we both
predicted that they would.
And that's just a marvel. It's a marvel when you look at this team. And so in retrospect, we look back on it, and it's almost like, of course they won the Super Bowl because they have the best team in football from a skill position side. I mean, Ndamukong Suh on the defensive line. We didn't even talk about him that much, even though he did have that one hit late on Pat Mahomes. This team they're just good.
Yeah.
And we just didn't want to admit it because they had some struggles. But with Tom Brady at the helm, they rose to the top really, really quickly and really, really easy.
Well, listen, it's challenging to – I'll just speak for myself on this. It's challenging to, not now. I mean, today you just dole out the platitudes. And by the way, this isn't like, here we are coming late to the party. Tiki and I both picked with great conviction that the Bucs would win the Super Bowl, not in September, but going into this game. So we weren't surprised by the result. Surprised Kansas City didn't score a touchdown. Of course, everybody that watches any amount of football, nobody saw that coming. And by the way, I should let you know, we'll get to all the officiating stuff next segment. There's a lot to unpack there. I think there's some erroneous, sloppy, lazy takes out. Some are on the money. Mm-hmm. We'll really flush through that in its entirety next segment. But we wanted to kind of cherry pick some of the obvious stuff here. I do think that Tom Brady was incredibly selective.
Yeah.
I know. Incredibly selective. Where can I go with a pretty decent O-line, even though we got hit more this year than he did with the Pats? But that's because they were throwing the ball down the field more, and that's an extra 2 seconds in the pocket. You're going to get hit a little bit more. Pretty good running game. We know about their weapons vertically. Great. I mean, Godwin's a free agent. You got to retain him. But Evans is a Hall of Famer, by the way. At this rate, Mike Evans is going to be a Hall of Famer. So all the weaponry, the coaching, the inner structure of the franchise, which, as you properly point out, has been good, has been slowly built. Do I think another quarterback could have, you know, gotten them to 11 wins and flipped this, or 10 or 11, or maybe even 12, maybe another regular season win more than Brady? Maybe, you know, not Phillip Rivers, like the quarterbacks that were available, maybe. But whomever you brought in, right?
Yeah.
You weren't beating those quarterbacks in succession. It takes one person with that mental aptitude and fortitude and physical resilience and the ability to emit confidence, to project that like in an unwavering projection into the locker room that's never won anything. They've been losers for a couple of years. Not, you know what I mean? But losers in the football win-loss record. Losers. This guy shows up. And I don't believe there's another quarterback in football that was available or could have been made available that would have done that for the Tampa Bay. But as good as they built the team with the GM, you're right.
Yeah.
They're not winning anything if Tom Brady's not quarterbacking last night.
Yeah,
that's not happening.
He knows how to get these guys to win, and he knows how to help them keep their composure. And we see it. Because that, at the end of the day, when I look back on, like, what's the big picture that I see when I just, like, snapshot my eyes at that game? Mm. It's the Bucs had composure, and they didn't panic. And the Chiefs didn't have composure. They were sloppy. Mm-hmm. They were made a lot of mistakes. Even their great young player in Pat Mahomes looked like he was on a wing and a prayer half the time, you know, scrambling around, you know, trying to play hero football. But it's also a coaching thing, B team. And we talked about this in our Slack channel leading up to the day to our show today. And, you know, Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid, they couldn't find an answer. And interestingly, Andy Reid talked about Todd Bowles, and how he says it, he just kind of tips his hat to Todd Bowles. Here's Andy Reid.
Todd had a good plan, but like I said, I could have done a whole lot better putting these guys in a better position to make plays. I mean, you know, my guys busted their tail, and you know, it just didn't work for us. So. But give credit to Todd for the job that he did. He got us.
Give credit to Todd because he got us.
Well, it took him a while to eventually. At first, I didn't know that he was going to give him a compliment. Yeah. He was kind of like what we did wrong rather than what Todd Bowles did right.
Well, I mean, let's face it.
Good job, coach. Finally giving out the praise.
That's right. But let's face it.
It was obvious.
They were behind the eight ball. Their offensive line was compromised.
Yes.
I mean, from all across it, it was compromised. Pat Mahomes was a shell of himself. Remember in the second series, Kansas City ran an option and it went nowhere? And what is the point of that? Nobody is going to be threatened by Pat Mahomes with a bum wheel running the option. And so all of these little tricks and gimmicks that they try to run all the time, they were ineffective. And when you listen to Devin White, BT, because this is interesting sound, I found this one, and this is what a lot of people saw when they took away from this game, was that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were aggressive simply because of who they knew who they were playing. Listen to Devin White.
Okay. We talked about beating them bad. We knew they wasn't physical enough. You know, they real gimmicky on offense, and man, we don't play like that, man. We like smash mouth football. We like coming downhill, getting in them trenches. That's what we built off. That's why we're the number one rush defense in the league. And that's why on the back end we strapped up, man. So we knew we wanted to blow them out. We knew whatever we gave them in that first game, it was because we gave them. And Ty Bowles wasn't letting that happen this game.
I love that. That kid, man. He is real. And that's what it felt like, though.
Yep.
But they took it to him. They got after him. They're going to bend a little bit. But once they got in the red zone, it was like Pat Mahomes and this Kansas City Chiefs offense, as explosive as they have been, just couldn't manufacture anything. But that's something that we probably ignored. because they're so explosive and they have these 40-yard touchdowns and 60-yard touchdowns. Their red zone efficiency was really bad this year. And in fact, their fourth down efficiency and red zone was one of the worst in the league, especially after they got to the latter half of the season. The Bucs just exploited it, and you got to give them credit. That's why Todd Bowles deserves as much credit as Tom Brady does for this victory over Kansas City, man.
What Todd Bowles did last night, first of all, he blitzed them on 11% of the snaps, which for Todd Bowles,
Five snaps.
That's like, I'm trying to give you a good analogy here, good sporting analogy. That's like, for Todd Bowles to only blitz 11% of the time, that's like Magic Showtime Lakers trying to keep the score in the 80s. It's a complete deviation from who they are and what they do. So what they did was, and you're right, the way the Chiefs beat you, boom, 40-yard gash play. So, let's take this safety here, drop the other safety back, we'll put two safeties high, and we'll put David, and we'll make sure we'll bracket Kelsey, we'll keep everything in front of us, and we'll trust our natural pass rush to be able to, you know, that Swiss cheese, recently repaired offensive line to win those matchups. And the crazy thing is, they only blitzed 11% of the time, but they got pressure 29 or 30%.
Yeah.
So they didn't need to get gimmicky or overly aggressive with the blitz because they knew they could beat them one-on-one. And the crazy thing about that, I can understand. You know, and I, to be honest, I don't know if this is on Reed. I don't know who gets the credit when they're good. I don't know who should get the blame. If a lot of people think, well, you know, Andy Reid calls the plays. I don't know. I mean, so if Andy Reid calls the plays, then Andy Reid sucked last night.
Yes.
If Eric Bieniemy calls the plays, then Eric Bieniemy sucked last night. Because I could understand the first quarter when all of a sudden Todd Bowles isn't blitzing, when that's what you're prepared for, it's going to take a little time to adjust. Zero.
Yeah.
Zero adjustment to that.
Yeah.
And that's just embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, the problem was you couldn't move the pocket, right? Pat, because of the bum wheel with Pat Mahomes, you couldn't move the pocket anymore.
Yeah, but Teek, hold on. He scrambled and got a lot of yards in the first quarter, Mahomes.
Yeah, but they gave it to him.
No, I know, but he was moving a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, look, Bruce Arians shed some light on this because he talked about the job that their defense did. He gives Todd Bowles a ton of credit, but he talks about the Mahomes scrambling part of this. What Bruce said is right on, and it just tells you they were ahead of where the Chiefs were game planning. This is why you can say with confidence the Bucs outcoached the Kansas City Chiefs in Super Bowl 55.
Yeah, I think that we lean on that a little. I don't mean former players like you, but I'm sure I've been guilty of it as well. Oh, they're outcoached. Ah. You know, and sometimes it's not always that, to be fair. I'll call myself out because I'm sure a lot of other broadcasters won't. I'll lump us all into the same occasional clueless room. You know, we mess that once in a while. Guys who play just see the game differently than I didn't play. But as somebody who didn't play, it was apparent that there was some real gross negligence and mismanagement on the part of Kansas City last night.
Yep.
Even guys who didn't play can see that, to your point. So congrats to the Bucs. Amazing franchise win. Obviously, Brady's going to keep going. We've got a million things to get into, and we'll get into this coming up next, the officiating, all right? Just how influential, and there's a conversation both sides, honestly, just how much influence did the officials have on the outcome of the game? We'll get through it next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. At Bruce Arians doling out the praise. That's what Tiki was talking about before. Todd Bowles was masterful. Absolutely spot on. And, you know, Todd Bowles, I mean, you would expect people who know the game would weigh in on this. But I was pleasantly surprised. I was really happy for Todd that he got as much traction on social media from every angle as he did. I mean, people saying he's the MVP of the game.
Yep.
Which is not necessarily that off base.
No, you're right. I mean, I think I read a couple articles. They're like, Tom Brady's great. He's the GOAT. But the real MVP is just pick a player on the defensive side of the ball because all of those guys were fantastic. I mean, the interceptions, even Mike Edwards in the secondary, a safety who most people don't really know about. He was a sixth or fourth or fifth round pick or something 2 or 3 years ago. He dives in and knocks out that ball and it gets intercepted. I mean, all those guys were making plays all over the field, and a lot of that is a credit to Todd Bowles for getting them prepared and having them believing.
What do you think it does for, I'm going to get to the officiating here next. And by the way, Gene Steratore coming up at 4:20 Eastern 120 Pacific. Gene, TV star, is the head of the officiating. He's with the, with Nance and Romo, with everybody, but
yeah,
obviously yesterday. Big part of what we do here at CBS. We'll get with Gene next hour. What do you think this does for Todd Bowles' head coaching candidacy next year?
Well, I think it clearly puts him in line for another job, BT. But just like we discussed last week, New York was probably the wrong place for him to have his start as a head coach, simply mm-hmm. because of the scrutiny that would come if he had a down season. Not because he had a good season his first year.
10 wins.
And then he took a step back.
Yeah.
And in New York, if you're not going forward, then they don't want anything to do with you.
Hmm.
Whereas other places, maybe they give you a year or two leeway, especially if you've had a good season, right?
And that's true.
And so I think he will get some looks for sure.
He should, Teak.
Definitely. I 100% agree.
You know what hurt him too? He was right after Rex.
Yeah.
And Rex was so bombastic, and Todd, at least verbally, was so docile.
That's right.
Even keeled, and it was such a radical departure from what we were used to. And let's face it, Rex's in your face style certainly meshes more with mm-hmm. with us, and I'm a New York guy, than Todd Bowles and that presentation. But listen, if you paid me, I wouldn't give Adam Gase a recommendation for another head coaching job ever. I think Todd Bowles really deserves one. I think Todd Bowles could be a successful head coach. I the right spot, he can win. All right. Listen, bottom line is this. Kansas City was sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
They were seemingly unprepared, though that's probably unfair. It looked that way, but they were definitely sloppy. They were definitely undisciplined, and they were definitely pushed around.
Yeah.
So those are three things that everybody's going to agree with. What is a little bit of a shade of gray is the officiating. I want to give you first crack here to dial in. Did it cost the Chiefs the game?
Yeah, I mean, it did, because it cost them not momentum, because they never really had momentum, but it cost them the ability to stall the Bucs' momentum. And it started with the offsides penalty on the field goal attempt, because I was writing this down as I was going. I was sitting watching every single play. I was taking notes like you usually do, PT.
Oh, yeah.
On every single play. And when they had the offsides on who was it? Forget who the Jonathan.
It was on who was that? Oh,
Hamilton. Hamilton. It was on Hamilton. On the,
you're talking
on
about Hartman on the field goal attempt?
Yeah,
it was on Hartman.
Hartman or Hamilton?
They it was did, definitely
they,
Hartman.
They never clarified. I didn't know if it was
right,
Hartman.
Oh, that's right. Romo actually pointed to one part of the line of scrimmage.
Yes,
that's true.
I think both of them were probably offside, to be perfectly honest with you, because it was bowed. Like, both of the edges were kind of offside. So Hartman was offside, but so was Hamilton, number 20 on the end.
Gotcha.
And they kicked that field goal. And, that one came back. And in the next play, they scored a touchdown.
Yes.
Right? So that drive, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had been – they were rolling, man. They ran a jet sweep, and then they had that interception that was negated, right, because of the holding penalty. This is all on the same drive. So that led to a first down. Then they have an incomplete pass, and then they got to kick the field goal. And next thing you know – wait a second. We get another shot.
First down.
Touchdown.
Yep.
So that was the momentum shifter.
But was it the wrong call? Because if you're saying the refs cost Kansas City the game, I need you to tell me that was the incorrect call.
So
They were lined up offsides. It's the right call.
On the field goal, 100% BT. They were offsides. You could see it, actually. I mean, I didn't notice it until they went back and showed it, but they were way offsides.
You're talking about the 50-50 cheapy.
Yes.
That is highly debatable.
The other one is debatable. And I'm talking about the pass interference on the Tyrann Mathieu.
With Mike Evans?
No, not that one. That was later in the game.
Yeah,
that was the next
series.
That was
an easy call, even though people make it out not to be. That was a penalty.
That was the next one. This was the drive before, BT.
Gotcha.
So Tyrann Mathieu has the interception. Remember, Brady tries to chunk it down to Leonard Fournette. It gets tipped, and then Fournette tips it again, and Mathieu intercepts it. And then they call it back, because there's a holding in the secondary on Mike Evans.
It's
a different one. And, that's the one that people are upset about.
Mm-hmm.
But if this was week five, that's a hold, right? Or at the very least, BT, it's incidental contact or illegal contact, and it's 5 yards and a first down. So whether
automatic
it's 10 yards and a first down or 5 yards and a first down, it's an illegal play. It wipes out the interception. Then you have a couple plays later, the offsides on the field goal, and then Gronk scores a touchdown. So those two plays were momentum stoppers for Kansas City. And they didn't execute, because they were sloppy with their hands and they made mistakes. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a team that if you give them another shot, like if they get turnovers, they score points on them. We saw this in against Green Bay. We saw it really all through this postseason. So when you give them an opportunity, they're going to take advantage of it. And the Kansas City Chiefs didn't have any answers after that point.
Listen, I there were so many aspects of this game that we haven't even really woven into the show yet that just paint a picture of how sloppy they were. Even the punting was horrendous.
Yes.
There was the shank. There was a mishandle. There was a shank. Casey had three very important drops. Kelce on third by the sticks. Third down right at the sticks. Tyreek Hill had two drops. Now, you go back to the second quarter. I'm looking a little bit at the notes. I want to make sure I have the second quarter less than a minute to go. Right? Bucks start at their own 29. Keep in mind, Bucks have one timeout at this point. One. They're up 14-6, and they seemed, at least based on the first play that they called from their own 29, a Fournette run that wasn't creative and it wasn't successful.
Yep.
They were telling us, you know what? We're cool. We'll go inside halftime up 14-6.
Yep.
We've got one timeout. Let's play it smart. We're good. Even though Kansas City's getting the ball to start the second half. What happens there? The Chiefs start calling timeouts.
Yes.
They call two timeouts.
That's
two.
Right. Yes, because they wanted the ball back.
I understand why they did it. But when it doesn't work, you look lost. Because, listen, Andy Reid won the championship last year, so he got that off his back. And rightfully so, because he is a great winning coach and an incredibly innovative offensive mind. But until he won the Super Bowl last year, the knock on Andy Reid is that a lot of his game time decision, like in, I don't mean the first 15 scripted, not about what it's, do I call the timeout? He's a little skittish.
Yes.
Like that's been his track record. And it's resurfaced yesterday, those two timeouts.
That's right.
You're helping the Bucs.
Yeah, the Buccaneers who had one timeout. The Buccaneers only had one
timeout.
They
started the drive with one timeout from their own 29.
And so what do you do in that situation? You're backed up, not really backed up, but you know what I mean. You're in negative territory. You're not close to the 50 yet.
Nope.
What do you do in this two-minute type situation? You run a draw. It's what every team does at this point. Either that or like a little quick screen or something like that. What did the Buccaneers do? They ran a draw, got stuffed. Timeout, Kansas City. Okay, I kind of see this. What do the Tampa Bay Buccaneers come back and do? They run a quick screen. It's not like a draw, but it's very similar. Let's run a quick screen. They throw a quick screen to Chris Godwin. What happens? They snuff it out. Kansas City's not like, oh, we got third and long. Girl, we got a chance to do this. And then they forget that Tom Brady has a friend on this team who he pulled out of retirement who, if you give him an opportunity in a third manageable situation, he will crush you. And they ran the same play that they ran like six times in the game where Gronk is running in and out, the outside receiver's running in, dragging coverage with him, completes the Gronk first down.
Five yards, first down.
Yep, all of a sudden, Tampa Bay has a first down, and they're on the 50 or close to the 40 or so. And what did they do two weeks ago in the championship game?
Same thing against the Packers, right?
Same
before the
thing.
Half. Boom.
Right before the half.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? We're taking a shot.
Yeah.
So the fact that Coach Spagnuolo and Andy Reid didn't recognize what immediately just happened to the Green Bay Packers is frustrating because they threw that shot. Bashard Breeland gets it. He was vulnerable the entire game.
Oh,
Bashard Breeland.
Rough one.
He gets a pass interference on Mike Evans. Immediately, you get another pass interference on Tyrann Mathieu in the end zone. That one was a little bit shaky.
I didn't like that one. By the way, that was a bad call.
Yeah.
That ball hit the lower partition of
the
wall. Stands.
Of the wall.
That you can't call that.
I agree.
Or you got to at least pick the flag up and say uncatchable ball.
Or make it illegal contact. Either way, I think the momentum was favoring the Buccaneers. At the very least, they go in 17-6 as opposed to 21-6.
Yeah.
But it was that other pass interference on Breeland, Bashard Breeland.
On Evans. But that was the right
call. It was the right call.
I had no problem with
that.
Me either. He tripped them up.
Me
either. Now, Evans has a wide catch radius.
Yep.
Now, I don't even know if he would have had to dive to get hands on that ball. If it was incidental trippage, yeah, you don't blow the – it was a little more than that. I mean, he impeded his ability to continue moving north slightly enough, in my opinion, and I believe in the opinion certainly of Gene, who's going to join us next hour. He said it on the broadcast. He said, yeah, it's a penalty.
Yep. And there was
no
doubt
about
it.
I don't know what people are talking about.
He tripped him, and that changed the complexion of the game because at that point it was a manageable deficit.
Yeah.
If Andy Reid just lets the clock run out, because that's what Bruce Arians was doing.
He said it.
Just letting the clock run out. You're down by eight.
I hear you.
Right? Eight is nothing for you.
One possession, dude.
15 is a different story.
It is.
And we saw it.
Man, there was some – I mean, really, that was – the more, and I've thought about it all night and morning, that was a horrendous display by almost everybody involved with the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's right.
Really?
That's right.
Coaching, playing, horrible.
You're right.
Both sides of the ball.
Yeah, first of all, before that drive, Kansas City stalled. They moved down the field, then they stall in the red zone again. And have to kick a field goal. Mm-hmm. And then try to get it back. Next thing you know, they're up 21-6.
Although that field goal won me some money. I had a great prop bet. There was a prop bet. 47.5 yards over under that would be the longest field goal in the Super Bowl.
You said over?
Yeah, I said over and I got it. I think that one was 49.
Yeah.
And there was another one after that, so I would have won that anyway. But got on the board early with the props, if you know what I'm saying here, Teak. All right, let's get the update for Mac. We'll get that. We'll come back. We'll do we got to get into, you know, now this changes a bit. Mahomes is still great. We love him. He's a little more injured probably than we think, but he lost again to Brady. Hmm. What does this do for the possible pursuit of the GOAT title? I mean, it's a real can he never get there now? We'll get to that after Rack's update, which is right now. Here's Rich. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Time to ask the pros here, give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Pretty basic stuff. Pretty easy to hit us up at Twitter, or on Twitter, I should say, drop us a tweet here, at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros, and Tegan and I will get back to it right around a couple minutes before the show ends. So get them in now. Use the hashtag AskThePros. We'll take the best moment, we'll answer it for you, and we'll give you some props on the air as well. Make sure you stick around, and we'll do that. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Guarantee low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. So Gene Steratore is going to join us next hour. Looking forward to that. He is he's terrific. Versus, he's just a great guy, and he's great on the air. You know Gene. I know Gene. We love Gene. So he'll join us next hour, sort through all the officiating stuff. Though you and I just, I think, set up a pretty good, a pretty good path to jump into that with Gene. I think we hit most of it, but obviously Gene's the official, so we'll use him. Listen, I know that there are a lot of GOAT conversations. Well, really, every GOAT conversation, if you really think about it, is pretty meaningless because it is subjective.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's objective material that you incorporate to help arrive at your choice. I can't say, even I could say I disagree, but if Samter's like, hey, LeBron is unequivocally the greatest player of all time, he's the GOAT. Yeah, I could say, all right, you're wrong, and depending upon how we positioned it, I could say you're a clown. But I can't really say that he's wrong. Meaning, I could say it, but it's not gonna do anything because it is not wrong for him. This one, I think, is a little more real. All right, pertaining to Brady and Mahomes, and we know that Mahomes wasn't fully right last night. We get it.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have a lot of help from receivers. We mentioned the big third down drop by Kelce, drop in the end zone on that sick throw. Looked like Ozzie Smith from the hole at shortstop. How the hell he did that with his body at that point and threw a ball on that line. It defied every aspect of physics. It was amazing.
You're right.
But he now has lost to Tom Brady in the conference championship game. Barely, but he lost. And now he's lost to Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. And he played probably his worst game ever as a pro. How can he ever jump in front of Brady as the GOAT?
I don't think he can jump in front of Brady as the GOAT, BT. And we talked a little bit about this last week, and it was really more the circumstances that are surrounding him. How long is Travis Kelce going to play? Because he's 31 or 30. He'll be 31 next year. So he's 30 this year. So, I mean, how many more years does Travis Kelce have as an elite player? It's certainly not a decade, which is the number of years that Pat Mahomes is going to have to play and win consecutively, likely, in order to jump Tom Brady.
Yep.
Right. Tyreek Hill. While he's a great wide receiver, when he slows down, what happens to him, right? Because he's not big. He's not a bodied guy. You know what I mean? He's not Larry Fitzgerald when Larry Fitzgerald is 32 years old or 35 years old or 38 years old. So Tyreek Hill, how long is he going to be that explosive player? And then I think the biggest one is Andy Reid. When does his coaching staff break up, whether it's Eric Bieniemy getting a head coaching gig or Andy Reid saying, I've had enough and it's time for me to go? I think the pieces around Pat Mahomes, while he's phenomenal and he's there for a decade or at least nine more years, I don't see the pieces around him being able to support him challenging what Tom Brady has been able to do. Now, the thing that we still have to see is what happens when Pat Mahomes has an inferior group of wide receivers,
mm-hmm.
right? What happens?
Like Brady had for a bunch of years.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking all the circumstances that we're talking about. What for Tom Brady? What happens when it's running back by committee, three or four different guys, and you can't count on someone to get you know 80 or 100 yards on the ground every week? Like, what happens when Pat Mahomes gets stuck in that situation?
Yeah.
So I don't think he can catch Tom Brady as the GOAT. And I think it's almost unfair to position him that way because he's just trying to win his second Super Bowl.
I know.
But it's the conversation that he's in because of how much success he's had. I just don't see it happening. I really don't.
By the way, I just put on the simulcast here, or just looked up, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
That is a sweet Jordan sweatshirt.
Yeah,
that you're rocking
dude, this
today.
Thing is
tight.
I think CeCe like gave that. Me this like years ago.
I like
cause,
it.
Cause, it was the thing I did at St. John's. Remember when I did the basketball tournament
yeah.
at St. John's?
Yeah, you scored the basket, the layup.
I scored the reverse layup.
Reverse
layup. I don't know how it went in because I wasn't even looking, but it went in.
Yep.
He gave us this sweet Jordan stuff, and it's been in my closet. I was like, dude, I got to pull that.
No, that's pretty tight. I like that. Sometimes, usually you dig that deep in the closet, it's like, ugh.
Exactly.
That thing is awesome. All right, so, see, to me, while you're right about the ability to keep the talent around him, to me it's less about the construction of the roster that will prevent him from gaining the GOAT status, the mythical GOAT status, because I'm gonna push it, and you don't want to do this, but yeah. I'm going to push it forward 20 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
In 20 years, now, is Mahomes still playing at 45? Probably not, but whatever. Let's say in 20 years he's got the all-time passing record yardage, which he probably will,
yeah,
and the all-time touchdown mark, which
yep.
he probably will.
No doubt.
Even with that, the path to Goatsville is obstructed by two major roadblocks, and it's Brady.
Yeah.
Like the losses, the direct, at least with Jordan and LeBron, you know, we could say, well, all right, Jordan never lost in the finals. LeBron's lost a handful of times. But he never lost to Jordan, so he could
yeah.
at least still kind of, you know, craft that and then lean on the stats and the accumulation of all the other stuff that he's done and how he's playing at the age of 35. He's still great. And that propels some arguments, not necessarily mine or yours, but it does fortify many. You just can't remove that stain. You lost to him twice.
Yeah, you're right. And there's been a bunch of great quarterbacks that have also lost to Tom Brady because Kurt Warner is in this category, right? He won the Super Bowl, and then he lost to Brady in the next Super Bowl. Same thing with Russell Wilson. He won the Super Bowl, not against Brady, but then he lost his second Super Bowl to Tom Brady, and now Pat Mahomes is in that same category. When it's gone head-to-head in Super Bowls, other than Eli – because Nick Foles isn't in this conversation. Other than Eli, if there are Hall of Famers facing Tom Brady, Tom Brady wins. And that's just, that puts him in a different level of the conversation because you just can't beat. But doesn't matter how good you are, doesn't matter how good your team has been.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest show on turf with the Rams, they couldn't do it, early. So it's a calling card that Tom Brady forever has on that ultimate stage. And yeah, the regular season numbers, I mean, because of the way we throw the football in the NFL these days, of course Mahomes is going to run past him.
Mm-hmm.
But what matters for quarterbacks is championships, especially when you have a championship against a guy that you're competing with for this conversation.
The only way, and not to debate myself, but just to be fair to the argument, to incorporate another aspect here, the only way I can see that having real merit where, you know, he's able to leap past Brady as the GOAT is if he wins one more Super Bowl than Tom Brady,
mm-hmm.
Has all the requisite stats, and doesn't lose again. Because if the only loss is to Brady, that could theoretically be mitigated, be offset
yeah.
by the fact that Brady's lost more than once in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
For people trying to hang their hat on something.
Right.
But I got to tell you, in general, Teak, the biggest turnoff for me with this GOAT stuff is that it's never organic anymore. Like,
no.
we were talking, not we. We'll talk about, again, the LeBron and Jordan stuff is I don't know if it's interesting anymore, but it's far more in depth because LeBron's played so long, all right?
Yeah.
But even going into the year, we're like, wow, you know, some people, hey, man, if Mahomes wins another one, is he on track to become the GOAT? It's got to be more organic.
Yeah, he's got to actually accomplish it before we accomplish something or get close. He's not even close yet, BT.
Yeah, right? No, I know he's not.
I mean, he's 1-1, and yeah, I know he's got the MVP and the Super Bowl MVP, but he's not close to Tom Brady. And again, I think it's going to be at least a decade before we know if he's, you know, sniffing at Tom Brady right now. I mean, unless he starts winning back-to-backs. I mean, if he goes back-to-back-to-back in the next 3 years, then maybe we change our tune.
Well, nobody's gone back-to-back-to-back.
That's what I mean.
The last time was 2003-04 when it was back-to-back.
That's right.
But it was Brady.
But don't you think that would maybe start to change? Because it's unique. It's just it's just like LeBron in three different, you know, cities winning three different championships. It doesn't make him the GOAT over Michael Jordan, but it gives you a unique argument.
That's a smart way to look at it. Right? I would agree with that,
and so,
yeah, that opens up the dialogue deeper.
That's right. Because Tom did, but Tom was the one who did back to back, by the way.
Yeah.
So in order for Mahomes to get that unique edge over him, he might have to go back to back to back.
Yeah, I didn't really incorporate that. That's pretty smart. And the other thing too is like, and you know, I know that golf is so different, as are all the other individual sports, whether you're a tennis star or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
But you know, think about this this ridiculous ride to irrelevance that poor Jordan Spieth has been on up until this weekend, where he played really well.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy, he's got three majors. I mean, Jordan Spieth came out, got three majors right away, got $100 million from Under Armour. People, and same with Rory, because Rory, you know, Rory bagged a lot of early majors. People like, oh, maybe this guy's going to catch Tiger Woods and then eventually Jack. And they haven't really won since.
No, you're right.
We just have this inclination. I don't know if it's laziness. I don't know if it's the inability or the lack of desire to actually talk about what's current, but something plagues our society.
Yeah, we don't want to wait. That's what
we're always in fast forward mode, and I don't mean binging shows. Of course, I don't mean that, but I mean just...
Yeah, that's okay, by
the way. That's the only way to watch, let's be honest. But like the other stuff like careers, legacies, let it marinate a little bit.
That's right.
You know?
Right, for a long time. This is like a crock pot, man. This isn't, you know, you're not frying this on a grill for, you know, give me a rare steak and just blacken it a little bit. This thing's got to sit for a long time.
You were working. Well, you weren't actually on the air, but what did you eat yesterday? Did they have a nice bread for
Dallas
you guys?
Dallas BBQ.
Nice.
Yeah, it was great.
Nice.
Man. It was great.
So you just sat in which studio were you in? You were in where the NFL Today is?
Yeah, the big one.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it was fun. Me and Adam Zucker just hanging on just in case.
Good
just
dude.
Just in case.
Yeah.
But I had the best screen in the house because the TV was, it was probably 100 feet. I don't know how big that TV is in that studio.
Talk about the one behind you?
100 inches. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's a monstrous one.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. So it was great. God. I had up close and personal views of everything.
No beverages, though.
No beverages.
Because you're on call, just in case.
Just water and coffee.
And sometimes you got to do it. Yeah. It is what it is.
But they took good care of us.
Of course, they always do.
I appreciate all those folks over.
Yeah, the best. I love them all. They're all good. It's a setup there you really don't have to do much. You sit there and they feed you. It's awesome. Russell Wilson getting traded? Next.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.